chapter 12 tonight. It's a wonderful thing to be a child of the King and have a mansion in heaven. I may be considered poor in this world, but I'm rich indeed. Not because I have a mansion, but because I have Jesus Christ, and so do you. All right, Hebrews chapter 12. I want to read verses 1 through... We'll do 1 through 9. Hebrews chapter 12, and verses 1 through 9. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not more rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness tonight. Thank you, Father, for your love and your grace and your mercy in our life. Thank you, Father, we truly are a child of the King, a King who is not elected every 4 years, a King who is not born into that position, but Lord, an eternal King, one who has had that position from the beginning. Father, one who is faithful, Lord, one who is true, one who's gracious, forgiving, merciful, but also one who is a righteous judge. And we thank you, Father, that, Lord, you've allowed us to be on the right side of you, Father, to enjoy your goodness in our life and to enjoy being saved by the blood of the Lamb, being redeemed, knowing, Father, we have things to look forward to in eternity. But thank you, Father, for the things that we get to enjoy now, walking with you through the valley of the shadow of death, being encouraged by your Spirit now, Lord, being strengthened by your grace, even as Paul was reminded that the grace of Christ was sufficient in his life. Thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. Would you help us, Lord, tonight just to think about the truth of your word, the promises that you've given us, and help us, Lord, to walk away with something you have specifically and specially have given to each of us through your word that might be a help and a blessing as we enter into a new week. Maybe it will shed light on something we came through this past week. Lord, we know that your word is sufficient. It has all the answer for the lives of people. And thank you, Father, for being so distinct in what you have had man write down for our benefit. Thank you for the history that we get to see through the lens of Scripture and just your grace and your love and your forgiveness and how you kindly deal with each and every one of us. Father, I ask that you bless our time, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Tonight I want to give us, I want to share with us five things that will help us to maintain, to stay positive in a negative world. How many of us understand tonight that we do live in a negative world, a world that is not going in the direction of God? And if you're not going in the right direction, you're going in the wrong direction. I like it when they have signs that say road closed or the bridge out. That way you don't get to it and then have to turn around and backtrack. Sometimes we may totally miss the signs that are there. Sometimes people will purposely overlook those signs because they want to make their own decisions. People don't like to be told what to do. But you know what? If we want to stay positive in a negative world, there's five things that we need to remember tonight based on Hebrews chapter 12. And really, it comes from verses 1 through 3. Look at verses 1 through 3 again tonight. Because God does not want us to find ourselves fainting in the race that we're in. And he does call it a race. And there are things that we have to do to maintain a positive momentum in the Christian race. Excuse me, so that we can finish our race well. Because I truly do want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And you will hear that when you meet your Lord and Savior face to face, because it's not about us being perfect or sinless, but it's about us remaining faithful to him, faithfully following him, faithfully relying upon him, and not giving up. Now again, you think about a race, there's always a trophy to be given at the end of a race. I remember just in my lifetime as a kid, just playing soccer and just being thrilled at the end of season when they would hand out those trophies. And it was always a great joy when you received as a team the trophy that said first place. Even if it said second place, that was great. I mean, there's some type of encouragement when you're giving something that testifies of your achievement, testifies of, just even the work that you put into it. And the Lord understands that the Christian life is its work, but how many of you are thankful tonight that it's not a work that has to be done alone? You have a Savior who walks with you, encourages you, gives you of his strength. But again, we do want to stay positive in a negative world. This world is not going to become positive on its own. One day we will be in a good, positive world, as this world will be burned up and there's a new earth and a new heaven. But looking at verse number 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Now, how many of us understand tonight that if you faint in your mind, you're going to give up the race? Now, I know I've given you this example myself before, but when I was in junior high, I believe it was the 7th grade, that they had track day and you could get out of class if you wanted to do this field and track event. And I wanted to get out of class, so I signed up for it. And I thought, I play soccer, so I'm pretty athletic. I'm pretty fit. I think I can, do this race. And come to find out, I couldn't do the race. My legs were burning, and I wanted to give up. And I kept looking at the infield, going around the track, and thinking all I got to do is just stop, walk across the field, go sit down in the bleachers, and no one's going to care. But I didn't. I kept running, but I kept wanting to give up. And how many have you experienced that there's times in your life where you want to give up, but someone came alongside you and encouraged you to keep going? And I believe that's exactly what happened on that day. Was another boy who was older than me, who actually was on the track team, come running alongside me, encouraging me to keep going. Don't give up. He had already finished the race. He was first place in there. And I watched him. I've told you this before. I watched him run around the track, encouraging all the other kids, "Don't give up. Keep going. Keep going." Because you know what? There's something about crossing the finish line. There's something about not giving up. Even though you're tempted in your mind, you're like, "Oh, I can't go anymore." There was an Olympian. I forget what country he was from. It might have been from Kenya. I don't remember. But he was in the marathon. I believe it was in the 80s during one of the Olympics. And He had fallen down several times. He had been trampled on by other runners. But yet he never gave up. And as he came into the Colosseum to make his laps around and finish, the race was over. People were leaving. And yet when the commentator saw him come running in, he asked everyone to remain where they were at and just, you know, in honor of this athlete who was running to finish his race. And people started cheering him on. He was all bandaged up, bleeding, because again, he had several accidents running through the marathon. But he never gave up, and he finally crossed the finish line. And people were cheering and clapping, and reporters came, taking pictures and interviewing. And one reporter asked him, you know, what is it that caused you to run this race, to finish this race? Why didn't you give up? Why did you keep running it? Several questions they were asking, and finally the athlete responded and said, well, my country did not send me here to not run a race. My country sent me here to finish the race. And you think about the fact that that is what encouraged him, was to keep going, because he was representing his country. Think about who you and I are representing, Christ. Again, as we sang again, we're a child of the King. And just as that man in that Olympic game mustered up as much strength as he could to run that race, God gives us his strength to run the race that he has given us in. But there are times where you and I have to lay aside weights and remain focused on the Lord. Look at verse number 2, just to start with. The first thing I want us to think about is maintaining a biblical focus. Maintaining a right focus so that we don't faint in our minds. Verse number 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Again, maintaining a proper biblical focus. Excuse me, as a child of God, we've always got to remain that proper focus, because anything in our life could cause us to turn aside from the race that God has us in. And we do have to keep the mindset, you're in a race. Whether you want to be in the race or not, you've been placed in a race by God. You've been lifted out of a miry clay. Your feet have been set upon a rock. Your path has been established. And God wants you to run that race because there are blessings along the way. I mean, how many of you have been blessed since the day you met Jesus Christ? More and more, you've been blessed over and over again. But there's always that temptation. Every day is a new day. How many adults have realized, not to answer, but just think about it, how many of us have realized, you know what? Every day is not the same. Tomorrow is not going to be like today. Today might have been an easy day, relaxful day for you. Tomorrow, some of you have to go back to work. And you know, working in a job site, some days are good, some days aren't bad. Just life in general. At any moment, there could be something that arises in your life that causes you want to faint in your mind and think, what's the point of continuing to do this? Because it seems like every time I'm trying to do right, I'm gonna read more scripture this week, I'm gonna spend more time with the Lord, but then something comes up and you don't get to do what you thought that you would do. But we still have to maintain a right biblical focus, and there's so many verses that we could really go to, but I want us just to think about verse number 2, looking unto Jesus. Never lose sight of your Lord and Savior. He finished the course the Father wanted him to run, and that course ended with yours and my sin being paid for. It paved a way for us to come boldly into the throne of grace, to come before the Lord. Always maintain a focus on Jesus Christ. Let him be your encourager. Let him be the prize you're running for. Paul talked about wanting to win that prize, wanting to win Christ. That's what helped him to keep moving forward in his life, It's knowing that, you know what? Even though the world may say you're a failure, you're not a failure with Christ. Second thing I want you to think about is lay aside the weights. Look back at verse number one. Because really, verse number two, we do want to keep a right focus, and when we have a right biblical focus, then we can see the weights that are hindering us from doing what God has called us to do and hindering us from even moving forward in our relationship with the Lord and having our faith to grow. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, others have ran their race and they have finished and they are seated with their Heavenly Father. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Again, not everything in your life is a sin, but there are weights in your life. There are just things that are a hindrance. They're not a sin in and of themselves, but they are a weight to us, keeping us from growing in our faith, keeping us from getting closer to our Heavenly Father, keeping us from even being blessed. There are weights in our life that are even a grievance to the Holy Spirit and have quenched the Holy Spirit in our life at different times. And there's three I want to mention tonight that are and can be a weight in your life. And the first one is relational burdens, relationships. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Because you know what will be a huge temptation in a Christian's life to give up and say, you know what, I'm done, is people. People have done you wrong. You know what, forget this. I tried being Christ-like and I keep being mistreated. I keep being just blasphemed, you know, being talked about, all the stabbed in the back, all the analogies you want to think of. And those relational burdens can really be a hindrance in our race, and we want to lay those aside because we're saying Christ did not allow people to keep him from fulfilling the Father's will. Fulfilling the Father's will was more important to Christ than the Pharisees' hatred for him. But relational burdens can be a weight in our life. Ephesians chapter 4, you look at verse 30 through 32. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. One of the biggest hindrances in a Christian's life is having unforgiveness in their heart towards somebody. Now, how you will know if you have unforgiveness in your heart towards somebody is that whenever you think about them or see them or anything, anything is related to them or that situation, you find yourself, you know, upset again. Then you'll know you truly have not forgiven that person. Listen, that's a big hindrance. Now, there are times where, again, you're mistreated, you're done unjustly, someone takes advantage of you, but God does not want us to hold on to that. He wants us to let go of that. He does not want our relationship with him to be hindered by someone who has mistreated us. Without Christ, it is hard to forgive someone who mistreats you. But that's why, again, we're reminded, looking unto the author and finisher of our faith, the one who endured the shame, the one who despised and did not allow the words of the Pharisees, did not allow their hatred to keep him from loving people or helping people or even fulfilling the Father's will. He says, forgiving one another, and we have to remind ourselves, as verse 32 says, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So don't allow the relationship burdens to keep you from moving forward in your relationship and in the race that God has set you in. So we got to be careful that, you know what? You know, and think about, and we may think, you know, well, why should I forgive them? They're the ones that did me wrong. They should be, you know, coming and asking for my forgiveness. Again, some people will. Some people will come and ask for you to forgive them because of what they said or did, but some people don't care. Who does it harm more when there's unforgiveness? To have unforgiveness, you're allowing that person, that situation, that predicament, whatever it was, you're allowing it to control your life. You're allowing it to continue to just afflict emotional pain in your life, and that's the second burden that we have to lay aside, is the emotional burdens. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Do you realize that God cares more about us finishing our race than sometimes we do? Again, thinking about myself, I cannot believe that there was somebody on that day that cared about me finishing a physical race. No teacher told him to do that. And yet I watched him as he came to me, and then he would sprint forward to the next person, and he would run alongside, and you would see that person just, you know, get it, and just he kept doing it. And he came by me like two or three times. That just lets you know how fast of a runner he was. I mean, he already did his four laps, and he's still running, you know, encouraging us, you know, second lap, third, oh, can I quit? And I mean, I just, again, remember just coming around that last curve, and I could see him at the finish line. And I was like, you know what? I can do it. We need that encouragement. That's why we can't grieve the Holy Spirit with having unforgiveness in our heart towards others or towards situations or even something you think that isn't fair or something, you know what, I should have got that, I didn't get it. Because it totally causes us to lose focus of our Lord and Savior, who, yes, is running alongside us, but he's also at the end of our race encouraging us, come on, come on, you're almost there. Come on, don't worry about that. Don't worry about that person. I mean, you've got one that encourages you, but you have one that always wants to discourage you. And we got to cast these emotional burdens upon the Lord. Does it hurt to be mistreated by people? Yeah. 1 Peter chapter 5. Did it hurt this athlete who was in the Olympics running a marathon? Tripping, falling, being trampled on by other runners? Absolutely, it hurt. It hurts when you're bleeding. It hurts when your feelings have been hurt. When someone you thought was your friend turns out to be your enemy. Jesus experienced that. Paul experienced that. I'm sure all of us, probably the kids haven't, but most of the adults in here probably have experienced that at some point in your lifetime, a friend that turned into be an enemy. You know what, in 1 Peter chapter 5, you look at verse 6 and 7, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. There's not another person that cares as much for you and for me as our Lord and Savior. Not another person. And he says, cast your care upon me. Let me have that hurt. Let me have that burden. Don't allow your minds to be filled with negative thoughts. The only reason why Paul was able to finish his race, and he writes to Timothy, and 2 Timothy, reminding Timothy, encouraging Timothy, hey, you know what? Keep the faith. Keep running your race. Don't allow people to discourage you. And Paul reminds him tells him, you know, my race has come to an end. I'm ready to be offered. I'm ready to meet my Lord and Savior. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my race. You know what helped Paul to finish the race that he had before him? Having that right biblical focus. Because sitting in a Philippian jail at midnight, him and Silas are singing and praying. Backs are bleeding. They're in a dark prison. They've been mistreated. They've been lied about. They have no idea what the next day holds for them. But they were going to make the best of that moment in their life, and God blessed them in a tremendous way. They did not allow anger and resentment to fill their heart. You know, the best way for us to not allow anger, resentment, envy, bitterness, jealousy, any negative emotions, you know, the best way for us to keep all of that out of our heart is to do what Paul and Silas did and pray. Pray and praise. Pray to our Heavenly Father and praise Him for how good He is. And that helps us. That helps us. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Second Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. The third burden, the third weight that we need to lay aside is the comparison burden. Comparing ourselves among ourselves. Looking at someone else's life and thinking that their life is better. Thinking that it's not fair. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 12, the Bible says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." It goes on to talk some more stuff, but you know what? There's wisdom there, because if I always look at someone else's life and think, you know what? They have a better life than me. I could do so much better if I had that or whatever. Then it causes me to be discontent with what God has allowed me to have. I've got to have the mindset like Paul that I am who I am by the grace of God. Sure, there's difficulties in life. Sure, there's things in life that I have to do I really don't want to do. But you know what? God is faithful to help us along the way. Let's lay aside the weights that God reveals to us that are weights in our life. Third thing I want you to think about is we need to maintain a hunger and a thirst for God's presence in our life. Look at Psalm 42. I love Psalm 42 because Psalm 42 is somebody that is encouraging themselves in the Lord and even telling themselves, stop having a pity party and keep your focus on the one who is faithful. Now, it is okay to talk to yourself sometimes. Don't get out of hand with it. You know, you've seen those people who talk to themselves and you kind of back up. You're like, something's not right with them. But you know what it is? It is okay sometimes to tell yourself, knock it off. Get back to looking and following at the one who's faithful. Because in Psalm 42, David says, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." If you cannot praise God for anything in your life right now, you can definitely praise him for how good he is, for how faithful he is, for how gracious he is, how merciful he is. And we are to sing his praises because it does help us to have a positive attitude in a negative world. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee. Keep a hunger for God's presence in your life. I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 1. A couple more verses here and we'll be done. The Bible's very true. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Misery loves company. Attitudes are contagious. And you and I need to keep right relationships. And what I mean by right relationships is surround yourself with God's people. Surround yourself with God's people. You know, everywhere Paul went, he had companions that traveled with him. And he talked about those companions, how they were a blessing to him. One of his favorite companions, I believe, was Timothy. He talked a lot about Timothy. Timothy was the son of faith for him. He was not a biological son, but he was. He considered him his spiritual son as he mentored Timothy and tried to be a spiritual father to him and encourage him. And he was just someone that he loved. And he had others that traveled with him as well that he speaks about being companions. It's just times that we do. We need people to encourage us. People need to be encouraged. Now, yeah, I know I've, before I read verse 22 of 1 Peter chapter 1, I've known people have had the attitude, you know, I'm just a loner. I don't need nobody. Everybody needs somebody to help encourage them. Not everybody may understand what you're going through because they haven't experienced it. It is good when someone does understand. But just to have another brother or sister in Christ to be praying for you, it is an encouragement to know somebody is praying for you. They care that much to take your burden to the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth to the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, a genuine love for the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, maintaining a right relationships. Surround yourself. Now again, I know that we have relatives and co-workers, you know, people that we can't really, you know, disown. I mean, you probably could co-workers, but you know, you have relatives that really don't believe in your God. And they will say things that are not true. And you know they're not true. But have you ever found yourself trying to withstand the complaining of somebody? You usually find this in the workplace where employees will gather and they will complain about the manager. They'll complain about the work environment. They'll complain about this. And you might be someone who's positive and you try to help them to see the positive in it and all that. But eventually, if you allow it, it can weigh heavy upon you to where, you know what, you become discontent because of that negative talk. Now, you can't always keep someone from talking negative, but you can keep it from affecting you. And we need to make sure that what others negatively think do not affect us, because it will change our focus. It will hinder us from knowing that God is on our side. One example I can think of, again, is Paul on that ship headed to Rome as a prisoner. And though the Bible says all men lost hope, can you imagine what the talk was on the ship, 14 days without the sun, the storm raging? Everyone, they're believing, we're going to die, this is it. And how Paul maybe was trying to encourage them. Have you ever tried to encourage somebody and they just, you know, they had a negative thing to say against every positive thing that you said? Can you imagine what it might have been like for Paul? And yet Paul did not allow himself to be railroaded from having that positive attitude because he spent time with God. And he says an angel of the Lord spoke to him, and that night he comes and he encourages the man that, hey, God has said no one's going to lose their life. It's going to be okay. But as humans, we have a tendency to complain. As God's people, though, we should always praise the Lord. We should always thank the Lord that, you know what, it could be worse. The worst thing in our life right now, it could be worse. It could be worse. One thing that is a positive motivator in the Christian's life is always to remember you are a child of the King. This life that you're living is not going to last forever, but your relationship with the Lord is an eternal relationship. Last thing I want you to think about, look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14. Excuse me. Make a commitment to finish your race well. And you know what? Let me say this before I even read this. Make a commitment to be an encourager to somebody else. I know of many Christians who are discouraged. Many Christians who are not getting encouragement from God's word because they're not reading it. They're trying to find their encouragement on social media. They're trying to find encouragement from lost people and from quotes that lost people put up on social media. The Christian should be getting their encouragement straight from their Heavenly Father, who loves them, who died for them, who has given them life. Look at Philippians 3, verses 13 through 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, Paul says, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. The biggest hindrance in someone's life is past failures and past hurts. The devil always wants us to look at the past. Why? Because that hinders us. That cripples us. That causes us to feel defeated. Well, remember, if we keep our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith, what does that remind us? No, we are victors. We have won. The race truly has already been run. I may still be in the race, but you know what? I've already won it. Because Jesus Christ won it for me. And that's why we're to keep looking at Jesus, because he reminds us we're the winner. The devil's the loser. But if the devil can get in our mind to cause us to think of past failures, then we will faint in our mind. We will faint in the race. And we need to commit to finish. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The greatest thing we can do, because we have no idea what the future holds for us in this world, in this country. But we do know what the future holds for us in eternity. And we know the one who holds our life in the palm of his hand, the very one that has breathed life into our life, the very one that gives us the grace to even get up every morning and to go through another day. There's not a single person in here who doesn't have something in their life that's a weight. And you know what it is. You know what it is that you struggle with, you fight with, and it's always there. But we don't have to let it control us. We don't have to let it rule our life. Again, you and I can't do anything about the devil. I would love to annihilate him so that he stops bothering people. But I know one who's in control. I know one who's in control. Why give our enemy the joy of seeing us miserable or defeated? Let's be the encourager for one another, and let's let Jesus Christ be the one that we encourage each other with, and even ourselves at times.